ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Continuing to read from selection of quotes from His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, in which he states, don't be foolish. This is from a lecture at the Berry Place Temple in London on July the 25th, 1976. I was present in London at that time, but not at that lecture because I didn't know about it till afterwards. I was at Bhaktivedanta Manor, and the devotees deliberately didn't tell the devotees at the manor that it was going on because they thought there wouldn't be enough space if everyone came. It was a small temple room. So we were all disappointed, but we probably couldn't have got inside anyway, even if we had gone. Anyway, quoting from that, Srila Prabhupada said, those who are by fortune have come in contact of this Krishna conscious movement, they are supposed to be intelligent. What's the shastric evidence for that? Yeah, say the whole verse. Yeah. Krishna varnam tvasha krishnam sangopangastra parshadam yagyai sankirtana prayarya jantihi sumedasaha. Krishna varnam means someone who's in the category of Krishna, or someone who always says the name of Krishna, whose tvasha, whose bodily effulgence is a Krishna, not Krishna. So he's Krishna, but he's not Krishna, so to speak. Krishna not appearing as Krishna, who's accompanied by his sangopanga, literally his associates, his limbs, his subsidiary limbs. Upanga means that, and parshad also means associate, companions. Sangi would mean more like associate, and parishad means, or parshad means associate. Someone who is sumedhisa, of good intelligence, in this Kali Yuga, worships that person by the process of sankirtan, yajna. So, those who by fortune have come in contact of this Krishna conscious movement are supposed to be intelligent. So try to understand the whole situation, the whole universal position very minutely. That this material world is very, very, very dangerous for you. Three times said. You may believe or not believe, nature's work will go on. Nature doesn't care for your belief or not belief what you are. So don't be foolish, murha, naradhama. Because one who does not care of Krishna consciousness, they have been described as duṣkṛtino mūrha narādhamāha. Not very good certificate. So be sober, stick to the principles, read the books carefully, learn more and more about the whole situation, and as far as possible, live conveniently. So Srila Prabhupada says, don't be foolish. You're supposed to be intelligent. You're chanting Hare Krishna. So you're supposed to be intelligent. If you're intelligent, you should study the whole situation. What is the situation of this material world? If you study it, Srila Prabhupada says here, very minutely, you'll find that it's very, very, very dangerous for you. Three times said, and could said it millions of times just to emphasize the point. In other words, the whole material situation is completely militates against our real self-interest. You have to understand this whole universal position very minutely, Srila Prabhupada says. If we study it simply with our... how can we study it? I mean, how do we get information of this material world? Well, there is Indriyani Puranyahur Indriyebhya Parang Manaha Manasastu Parabuddhe Yobuddhe Paratastu Saha. We can get knowledge of this world through our senses, through our mind, through our intelligence, but ultimately we have to take the knowledge from the spiritual platform, which means that we have to hear from devotees. There are many intelligent or superficially intelligent people in this world who are very expert at analyzing the situation in this world in what to them appears to be a very minute or detailed manner. But because they don't have knowledge of the, what Srila Prabhupada says here, the whole universe, the whole situation, the whole universal position, because they lack knowledge, this basic, actually very basic knowledge that we are spiritual living beings. We have nothing actually to do with this world. And even though they're very expert in seeing behind the machinations and crookedness of the politicians and they still can't understand that even if we were to somehow or other, which doesn't seem at all possible, remove all the politicians and put some good people in, so-called good people, try and find a good person. There was one ancient Greek philosopher who would wander around in the daytime holding a lamp. And people say, what are you doing? He said, I'm looking for one good man. It's as foolish to look for a good man as it is to wander around with a lamp in the daytime. It's an absurd proposition. Yeah, that was his point. So if we study very, very minutely, we'll see this material world is very dangerous. You may believe or not believe. So many people are propagating different theories. Yesterday we read, Srila Prabhupada said, do not be foolish, misled by so-called scientists or philosophers or politicians. So many people have so many ideas and they're all convinced they're correct. But they're all in ignorance of the actual situation. Nature, Srila Prabhupada said, doesn't care for your belief or not belief. So, this position, we should try to find out what is the fact instead of believing this. I used to be a Christian and now I converted to Islam, someone can say. I used to believe that Jesus is the only way and the truth and the life and no one goes to the Father but through Him. And now I believe that he was simply a prophet and the final prophet is Muhammad. And then someone may change from being a Christian to a Muslim or a Muslim to a Christian or a Hindu to a Christian, believing different things. But what is the fact? What is the actual fact that we have to find out from Shastra? So Srila Prabhupada says, Yeah, we have to find out from Shastra. Shastra gives us knowledge of that which we cannot ascertain by the mind, by the senses, mind or intelligence, that we have to take knowledge from Shastra. So don't be foolish, Srila Prabhupada says, Murha, Naradhama. Now this is very interesting that Srila Prabhupada is saying this because he's speaking to his disciples. This is a lecture to his disciples. And mostly it was only the more senior disciples who got to know about this lecture here. It was actually Srila Prabhupada just went for darshan. He was at Bhaktivedanta Manor, which is about half an hour's drive from Bhaktivedanta Manor is just outside London. And if you go to Bury Place, which is in central London, it's about half an hour's drive early in the morning when there's no traffic. But he didn't go at that time, so it'd more likely be an hour or more. So he was at the manor, and then he expressed a desire to visit this Berry Place temple. And it was a sudden thing, so only it's just kept a secret among the... Of course, the Berry Place devotees, they... But even without anyone else coming, it was... The temple room was crowded. It was... temple room was a little smaller, I would say, than this terrace here. And... generally, there are about 50 devotees living there, which is fine. I mean, it wasn't, no one was supposed to live there anyway. It wasn't, it was meant to be office buildings. And yeah, it was always crowded. And then more devotees came. So, Srila Prabhupada was talking to very dedicated, this is 1976. So many of the devotees have already been in the movement sometime. And Prabhupada is telling him, don't be a mura, don't be a naradhava. He's not saying this to the public, he's saying to his own disciples. By this time, Srila Prabhupada has seen many of his disciples fall away. They've taken to Krishna consciousness and again go away. And already many of his most senior disciples, actually, have gone away, left Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada is warning, don't be foolish, mura, naradhama. One who does not take care of Krishna consciousness, they have been described as duskritino, mura, naradhama. Now, of course, Srila Prabhupada's use of English is somewhat, as we know, it's somewhat... non-standard often, but here, one who does not take care of Krishna consciousness, we're not careful, we're very careful. Shurasya dhara nishita duratyaya dugang patis tatkaveyo vadanti. Shruti warns us that this path of spiritual life is like a razor's edge. It's very difficult to traverse. So say the Shruti itself, which is the considered the highest authority, says that the learned person say so. Kavi means learned, realized. So both of these, the highest Praman, oh, that's another whole big subject, generally taken to be Shruti. But even that to be explained by the dharmasya tatvang nihitam guhayam mahajano yena gatasapada shruti vibhinna. Ultimately, the highest pramana or evidence is that which is spoken by great devotees, maybe even higher than Krishna. Well, generally Krishna speaks the truth. Not always. Sometimes what he speaks is... Well, when he spoke to Nanda Maharaj before the Govardhan Puja, he spoke atheistic, Kama Mimamsa philosophy. And his Yeyata Mang Prapadyante Tangs Tataiva Bhajamiaham. He later, when speaking to the gopis, said, I promised to reciprocate, but in your case, I couldn't, because you love me so much, I couldn't requite that love. So anyway, these are very obscure topics. Srila Prabhupada is speaking here at a very obscure or subtle topics, better by just saying. Then we should be, Srila Prabhupada is here speaking at a very basic level to devotees who are generally understood to be more senior here. But he's speaking at a very basic level. Be careful. It's not a good certificate to be duskritina, which means rascal, badly behaved, murha, fool, naradhama, lowest among mankind. In the modern age, young people especially are very interested in getting certificates. So many young people come here to Vellore. Actually, it's just as this temple here is outside Vellore on one side of the city, so on the other is that Vellore Institute of Technology. They come there and they are supposed to study for a few years. And what for? Ultimately, they just want that certificate. There is another way to get it. You just pay a lakh or two of rupees and bribe someone to get it. And apparently you can get very good certificates that way. Even they're authenticated in the book, in the record. Maybe not at VIT, but at other educational institutions. Maybe more than a lakh or two, whatever. It's possible to get. The point is, they want that certificate. But as Srila Prabhupada points out, they already got a certificate from Bhagavad Gita. They are naradama, duskritina, murha. They can have a certificate. Certified fool number one. Or at least made it to the top 10. See. Or honors, special honors. There was Tamal Krishnamurti described in his book, Servant of the Servant, that in the early days of the movement in Los Angeles, there was some materialistic man. He saw the devotees chanting in the streets, and he thought, well, this would make a good act. We could promote it on television and everything. So he became friendly with the devotees, but it was for the sake of, he had no interest in spiritual life, but he was friendly with the devotees, and he was interested in choreographing their dancing and all such things, which in those days we didn't do. Now, often the devotees, they dance in not exactly choreographed, but in a group manner. So he was moving with the devotees, talking with them, making engagements for them. So he also asked, well, you should give me a Sanskrit name also. He thought that would be a good idea. So devotees gave him the name Murha Godas. because he didn't know what this meant. So he thought, oh, that's very nice. My name is Murha Godas. But even if they hadn't given him the name, that already was his situation. In fact, you could give that to anyone who is not Krishna Das. Anyone who does not accept Jiva Shurup Hoy Krishna Nitya Das. I am the eternal servant of Krishna. Ami Nitya Krishna Das. E kotha bhule, mayar nafar hoya chirodin bhule. Forgetting that I am the eternal servant of Krishna, I become the servant of maya, and chirodin means more or less eternally also. I wander around in this material world. So that is the situation. If all these people who are trying to become prominent by becoming film stars, cricket stars, or scientists, Nobel Prize winners. They're all trying to get a certificate. They get a certificate from all the murhas that they are a bigger murha. That's all. As Srila Prabhupada said about the governments, the democratic government means all the fools get together and the biggest fool gets elected as the leader. That's his certificate. So, Srila Prabhupada is warning, be sober, stick to the principles, read the books carefully, learn more and more about the whole situation, and as far as possible, live conveniently, Srila Prabhupada also said. Interesting, he said there, live conveniently, because life in the Bari Place temple wasn't very convenient. It wasn't meant as a residential place, and it was grossly overcrowded. Devotees would sleep on the stairs and anywhere. There were one shower for sometimes 40 or more brahmacharis. So and you had 5 seconds in the shower. After that, you are physically pulled out. If you spend, that means you jumped in, front side, turn around, back side, out. That's all. That was it. And it was also inconvenient because the Camden Council was trying to throw us out, and we'd get arrested often just by walking out the door sometimes. So we were on, but Prabhupada said, as far as possible, live conveniently. At this point, be sober, stick to the principle, read the principle, read the books carefully, learn more and more about the whole situation. I have to say, we have to examine exactly, but there are many things going on. Srila Prabhupada was practically he took the management of the movement, although he didn't want to. As early as 1971, I believe it was, he made a GBC for the sake of devolving the responsibility of managing to his leaders. But then seeing their incompetence, Srila Prabhupada, he personally oversaw much of the management of the movement, the BBT. And so he was very much involved, and he saw capable men would give them sannyas. In many cases, they wouldn't maintain the principles. Devotees would go away. So Srila Prabhupada was, just stick with it. You got this process. Now he's supposed to be intelligent. Don't be foolish. I heard that one of my godbrothers initiating in Europe, maybe just a few years ago, he said that, well, if you now you're initiated, you're taking these vows, but if you're going to go away, at least communicate with me in advance and let's try and find out what the problems are. Right at the initiation where they're vowing to follow these principles throughout their life, he's telling them that don't just go away and then I find out from someone that this person has vanished and they're no longer an association of devotees. Because still today in the Western countries especially, the devotees who are initiated, probably within 5 years, maybe 50% of them are no longer practicing Krishna consciousness. So within 10 years, it'll go up more. You'll find devotees who are appear to be very sober, very fixed, and then they're gone. You say, what happened? Oh, you can analyze, but it's a very dangerous situation in the material world. Very, very dangerous. And therefore, we have to stick very closely to Krishna. Surrender to Krishna. We actually have to do that, not put it off. In some ways, we may say, well, if we put it off, then it's easier to stay in Krishna consciousness. That might be true. in one city in India, one of my Brahmachari disciples who's overseeing the preaching there told me that there's a Grihastha devotee who has a group around him who he preaches to them, well, we're not trying to go back to Godhead in this life. That's for the Brahmacharis. We're Grihasthas and we are here to enjoy Krishna consciousness. So they may do so in their compromised way, but then they're not really in Krishna consciousness at all, because Krishna consciousness means to fully give ourselves to Krishna. Atma nivedana. Atma Samarpan, Atma Nikshepa, all these terms are there. Otherwise, if we're thinking in terms of I, me, and mine, aham mama iti, aham mama iti, then we are in illusion. And we may think, yes, I have my home, wife, family, country, friends, society, bank balance, dog, cat, career, so many things. And yes, Krishna's also there, very kindly overseeing and blessing me for all these things. But a real devotee is, he doesn't think in terms, well, yes, I, aham mama. He thinks, I and then myself and Krishna. And I, instead of thinking in terms of I and mine, that I am this body and these things are mine, they think in terms of I and I am Krishna's. Or on a very high platform, one may also think Krishna is mine. But one should think, I am Krishna. I have nothing but in this world but Krishna. That is the meaning of akinchan. This word we find in Shastra, akinchan, niskinchan, same meaning, means one who has nothing. Anyway, we have nothing. But the sense of thinking, I have something, aham mama, this is Maya. So, jayatam surato pangor mama manda mater gatihi mat sarvasva padam bhojo radha madana mohano. This is the first establishing our relationship with Radha and Krishna, saying that I am, Srila Prabhupada translates this, I am lame and ill advised. But Mad Sarvasva, the lotus feet of Radha Madana Mohan, they are everything to me. Mad Sarvasva, everything I have. I don't have anything else. Only, instead of thinking this is mine, that is mine, Idamadhyamaya Labdha, I got this, I gained this, now I'm gonna get more. The demoniac way of thinking, instead of saying, I am Krishna's, and everything that I have is Krishna's. And that's actually the proper way of thinking. We say Atma Samarpan, this offering oneself fully to Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, he's given many songs in this regard. Manasa deho geho jo kichumar apiluntu apade nandakishar. He says that my mind, my body, my home, whatever I have, everything that belongs to me, I have offered to you, Nanda Kishore, Krishna. Now we may think, well, how can we offer it to Krishna? I mean, it doesn't belong to us anyway, it belongs to Krishna. But there is that sense that it belongs to me. This is mine. So giving up that sense that Krishna allows us to have, that I am independent, that I am an independent enjoyer, I am an independent owner of anything, controller of anything, to give up that sense. And actually Krishna does give us things in the sense that, well, we do, in at least in a conventional manner, we can think that, well, yeah, this is the cloth that I'm wearing. This is the bag that I use. This is the watch, my watch. We understand that everything is ultimately Krishna's, but this particular watch is the one that I use, and I want to keep it with me, so that I can see it when I need to. But with the understanding, why do I need to see a watch? So I can regulate my life in the service of Krishna. Why do I need the bag? Why don't I can use any bag? I pick up one bag one day and some other bag another day, but then someone else is using that bag. So it's convenient that I'll have one bag, and I'll keep things in it, rather than, okay, today I'll use this bag, and then tomorrow I'll swap with someone else, and the next day with someone else, and you have to take everything out and put it in, and try to find everything, because you know where you put things in this bag, but you don't know where to put it in that bag, and so on. So it's just, as a matter of convenience, in our service to Krishna, we keep certain belongings, and we think this is mine, but we should always remember, it all belongs to Krishna, and I'm only supposed to use it in Krishna's service. This is the meaning of akinchit. Kinchit means something, one who is without something. Or, in other words, he has no sense of owning something. Or he thinks, I am nothing. I am not even something. I am nothing. I'm insignificant. Everything belongs to Krishna. So, although everything belongs to Krishna, nevertheless, we speak about offering everything to Krishna. Atma samarpan, atma nivedana. It means, because Krishna has given us the independence to choose whether we want to offer ourselves in his service or try to be independent from him. And one who chooses to apply himself in Krishna's service, then that is called atma nivedana. Especially if we do that so fully, we can do so partially also. Okay, Krishna, I'm going to do a little service for you now. And okay, and then the rest of the time, you can just bless me to enjoy myself. Well, that's not samarpan. That's samarpan means completely atma samarpan, completely offering oneself. And this is what Srila Prabhupada here is advising us to do, not to be foolish. To be foolish means to go away from Krishna consciousness altogether. But even to be in Krishna consciousness, maintaining the idea that, yeah, well, this material world is miserable, we hear about, but, well, there are some good things. And, okay, so let me just enjoy it a little bit. And Krishna can help me. Now, actually, even that attitude is not necessarily completely wrong. We find that in the attitude, who is that? Yayati and Puru. Yayati and Puru. That Yayati was cursed to have old age, and before him there was Yadu also. I can't remember which one it was. He said, no, I'm getting all mixed up here. But one of the sons, anyway, he said that, I need to enjoy my youth so that I can be free from material desires, or I can expend them. And then Yadu. And Puru was the one who accepted the old age. And Yadu, the elder son said, no, forget it. We're not going to accept your old age. That was the offering of Shukracharya when he realized he'd cursed his son-in-law, and then that means his daughter would also suffer. So it became a complex situation. But the feeling that, yes, let me engage in material desires, and then later I can renounce the world. So that is possible. That's a reasonable approach, you could say, with people who have a very long lifetime, much longer than the ones we have in this miserable Kali Yuga, and who live according to the Vedic principles, and who are expected to live long. Now, these days, it's not uncommon for a 25-year-old man to have a heart attack and die on the spot, or to be killed in some accident or whatever. But generally, akala mrityu, untimely death, is not expected. People expect to live long. So that's the idea, that we can do like that. Of course, material desires are never fully expended. But if one leads a regulated life according to the Vedic principles, not just indulging grossly in material desires, then one, and at the same time, associating with saintly people, then one can gradually become detached from this. And we find there are many instances in the Vedic literature of kings who are leading a fully opulent life. There cannot be a more opulent life than that of a king on this earthly plane, who just at some point finished. They just leave it and go. And they go from a situation of great opulence to great austerity, practically overnight. How can they do that? Because they have that, that's in their culture. They can do that. The queens also would follow them in the vanaprastha life. They're used to such luxury, being bathed with various oils and scents and maidservants. All of a sudden, they're out in the forest and not combing their hair and lying down on the ground, eating leaves that have fallen down. It's a very austere life. But they had that culture that they could do that. But in this Kali Yuga, then there's no possibility of... anyway, we don't lead a very long life. And especially in the times that we live in now, we have to be very careful to try to maintain our health even at some minimal level so that we can perform devotional service. If we try to perform severe austerities, as described in Shastras, we'll be finished altogether in a very short time. And then, so, especially in this age, great austerities are not recommended. We can, as Prabhupada says, we can live conveniently as far as possible. This material world in general is not a very convenient place. But it doesn't mean live luxuriously, but just live conveniently. Just whatever is required, we can have and chant Hare Krishna, read the books. Actually, Srila Prabhupada says here, be sober, stick to the principles, read the books carefully, learn more and more about the whole situation. He stresses here being intelligent, studying. He doesn't actually directly mention chanting here. Of course, that's included in stick to the principles. And if we read the books carefully, the books will tell us that we have to chant Hare Krishna. But he's stressing the role of intelligence here, not to be foolish, to stick with the process. So to come to that level of completely giving ourselves to Krishna, even though we already belong to Krishna, but consciously offering ourselves to Krishna. So that's what we should do. We shouldn't be foolish. Very easy to be foolish. It's also very easy to be Krishna conscious. Takes more effort to be Krishna conscious in some ways. For those of us who are coming from the situation of not being in Krishna consciousness, we hope to raise children who from the beginning are accustomed to Krishna consciousness and not to Maya. And then for them to be in Maya would be more difficult. That we hope that the children should be raised like that. Not foolish. Raised from the very beginning in a very high culture of Krishna consciousness. But most of us have come from a background of gross foolishness, of non-Krishna consciousness. Now we've been given this elevated process. We should not be foolish and go back to that. Be sober, Srila Prabhupada says. Stick to the principles. Read the books carefully. Learn more and more about the whole situation. Hare Krishna. Any question about this place? Sorry?
We should not be foolish in this regard.
We should not be foolish, yeah.
Because even the domini in one prayer, that prayer, he accepts that the last statement of Jesus, that I'm able to understand everything, and still sense of self-gratification is in his heart.
It seems such a high level. How we are going to bring this? How are we going to do this? There are many people who directly saw Krishna when he was personally present in this world, but they didn't fully surrender to him. Why is that? Because they saw him, but they didn't hear from him. Arjuna heard from Krishna. Arjuna was in the position of foolishness. And Bhagavad Gita is a very intense session of philosophical reorientation. It's extremely intense. If we consider that we spend our whole life thinking about it and trying to understand it, and Arjuna got it right directly from Krishna, and Krishna describes about the yoga process, but Arjuna, he had to make a decision right there and then. He didn't have time to, let me do sadhana for 40 years and then I'll decide whether I'll follow your order or not, or whether I'll fight or not. He was on the spot. He had to choose to do what Krishna said or not. So he heard from Krishna directly and intensely. And this intense devotional service is actually very favorable for our Krishna consciousness. We may think, let me go away quietly and peacefully and read and chant. But this intense devotional service where we're loaded with so many responsibilities and so many things to do and under pressure, and then we simply have to, focus very intensely and call out to Hari, Guru, and Vaishnava for help. So this intenseness helps us. Even going away and chanting, traditionally the Babajis who would do that, they would deliberately try to make it intense, not a comfortable, relaxed kind of bhajan session. They would, the really serious ones, they would seriously strive, and still some of them do, to Nidra Hara Vihara, to overcome sleeping and eating. And they'd perform devotional service with great austerities, and they'd have vows to chant many, many rounds every day and completely regulated life, so they didn't have time to fall into Maya. So how is it possible we can come to the completely pure stage? Yeah. Well, ultimately, it all depends on Krishna's mercy, doesn't it? But we have to show that we're very eager to take that mercy.
Compared to all the other aspects of devotional service, like collection, building temple, distribution of books, purification of self, and purification of others.
Yeah. It's relatively easy to build temples, but it's more difficult to... I'm saying relatively easy, because to build a temple is not easy. To go out day after day and distribute books, or even for one day to do it, is not easy. Physically it's easy, mentally it's not easy. They may have opposing elements. Srila Prabhupada often used this term, opposing elements, in the form of inimical people, police, and so many things. Devotees in the West, they sometimes think that, well, you see, there are such big book scores from India, and they have it easy there compared to us in the West. They seem to think that, well, in India, the devotees just go out and people line up to offer full obeisances and give large donations to take the books. But it's not like that. In some ways, yes, it's easier in India, and that's due to partially to the culture, partially to the good name that ISKCON has built up all over these years. But it's not easy. But purification of heart seems to be the most difficult thing. For that, we just have to keep on trying and not be disappointed. We not be disappointed that we should have faith that, yeah, let me keep on going and Krishna will surely help. Anyway, what will I do? I find myself after 40 or more years chanting Hare Krishna and I'm telling everyone to give up kaam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, and the only way I'm giving up it up is by letting the sounds of the words come out of my mouth. Otherwise, they're still inside. Well, what should I do? What should I do? Should I therefore go and it's still not too late. I could still become a rock star. Of course, I don't know how to play any instrument except kartals, but there are still rock stars going on at the age of 70 or so. Yeah, I could do it. And with a little practice, I could enter the beer drinking competition or something like that. Or less spectacular, I could just become a nothing, a nobody. Just, I guess I could go back to England and get money from the government and live like that. I mean, why struggle? We don't seem to be getting anywhere. But what is there to do otherwise than be in Krishna consciousness? So we have to keep on going. The prema shravana, that verse is there. Prabhupada sometimes used to quote that. That's Rupa Goswami has composed in Bhaktivinoda Sindhu, also quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. What is that? Nash prema shravanadi. Can you get that verse? Can you find that? Very nice verse. It's feeling that, yeah, exactly. I don't have any qualification, but anyway, I'm just waiting for your verse, mercy. This is Ashabandha Samutkanta. This having great hope and having great hope that Krishna will ultimately deliver us. This, yeah. Na prema shravanadi bhaktirapiva yogotava vaishnava. That's the first line. It's a long meter. Na prema shravanadi bhaktirapivai yogotava vaishnava. Yanam. Jnanam va shubha karmam. Shubha karma va. Shubha karma va. Yes, shubha karma va. Kiyad aho sajati. So I don't have any of these things. I don't have prema. I never shravanadi. I never performed sadhana properly or bhakti yoga properly or any yoga properly. I'm not born in a good family. What other things? I never did any pious activities. No, yeah, mystic powers, yoga. Kintu. Yeah. Then? Jnanam va shubha karma. I don't have any knowledge, pious activities. Kyadaho sajati, already covered. Apyastiva. Hina tadaka sadakam. So, how does Prabhupada translate that? He, the persons who are hopeless. Hopeless person. You hope for the hopeless. Hinata adaka sadake twai tatapi achedya mula sati he gopijana valabhaya vyatiti ha ha madashaiva mam. Yeah, read the whole verse translation. Oh, my Lord, I do not have any love for you, Rupa Goswami says. Well, if he says, then what hope is there for us? But there is hope. Read on. Don't just collapse in hopelessness. Oh, Lord, I have no hope for love for you. Nor am I qualified for discharging devotional service by chanting and hearing. Yeah, okay. Go on. Nor do I possess the mystic power of a Vaishnava. Knowledge or pious activities. Nor do I belong to a very high caste family. On the whole, I do not possess anything. Oh, still, O beloved of the gopis, because you bestow your mercy on the most fallen, I have an unbreakable hope that is constantly in my heart. That hope is always giving me pain. So this hope, Ashabandha, comes in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. One should remain hopeful. Even seeing one's situation as being hopeless, one should remain hopeful that Krishna will help us. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Belief changes according to the religion. Well, that's one outlook. Also, according to the modes of material nature. That is their Shadhavaya. What is this? How does that begin? The beginning of this. Shadhamayo yang purusha yo ya chada trivitha bhavati shraddha. Trivitha bhavati shraddha dehinam sasvabhavaja satvaki rajasi chaiva tamasas cheti uchase samila. Yeah, so there are three kinds of belief, basic categories. Sattvic, Rajasic, and Tamasic. Trivita Bhavati Shraddha, Dehinam Sapsabhavajavra. Sattviki, Rajasi, Taiva, Tamasi, Chaiva, Uchase, something like that. Chaiti, Tvam Shrinu. So now you hear about Krishna says. So there are three kinds of faith. Yeah, belief changes according to the religion. But practically, most of what goes on in the name of religion nowadays, it's all largely influenced by tamagun. Like the rest of the world, it's tamagun, rajagun mixed. Sometimes a few flashes of sattvagun. So? Present the fact to them. Them meaning those who are not in Krishna consciousness. What should we do to present the fact? Well, you have to see the individual. You can start off with that you believe this, someone else believes that. What is the fact? But mostly people are on the platform of blind faith. They're already told that, well, if anyone tries to say anything different, they are the agents of Satan, so don't listen. That Satan come to you. They may seem very nice, but they're agents of Satan, come to drag you to hell. So don't listen to them. I remember, it must have been about 15 years old, there was one organization that was quite prominent in England and America at the time, called the Children of God. The founder of that had actually been living with the devotees for some time. Then he went away to found it. It was modern Christian society. I think it's faded away now. So I went to one of their meetings once, and I wasn't very impressed. Of course, I guess I was a hard customer to please, and he gave me a booklet to take away. And in the booklet, it was a cartoon booklet. And it talks about how someone comes and tells them about Jesus, and they take a little interest. And then someone else comes and says, well, you know, that's okay, but why don't you just come with me? We'll go and enjoy ourselves. I have a nice car. And then they're driving off. And then the car crashes. And then the person wakes up and it's all a dark and gloomy place. And then he sees the person who is driving with the car. And then the person rips off. He goes like this and his face changes. He had a mask and all of a sudden he has sharp fangs and eyes, slanted eyes, and ha 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 ha, I'm actually Satan and now you're in hell, something like this. Completely pure, which means childish. I never went back there again. So stupid. So it's very difficult to enlighten people who are committedly stupid. But then most of the people are like that. So it's not an easy task. Still, we have to try. Distributing books. Books will find their own targets. Hare Krishna. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna.